Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
Jane Marie and I are two of the many attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here this weekend talking to you about estate planning and Medicaid planning.
Two of the many.
Two of the many.
How many?
Well, many. We have offices in Albany and Clifton Park and up in Saratoga Springs, down in Kingston, and we're here to talk about estate planning and Medicaid planning. And before we get to that, though, Jane Marie, we do have a special guest here, a very, very special guest. His name is Phil. Hey, Phil. How are you?
Hey, Dave. Hey, Jane Marie. I'm well. How are you?
Fantastic. So Phil, everybody out there in the listening audience, Phil has just joined Herzog Law Firm last week, and we are thrilled, Jane Marie, that Phil has decided to come aboard. And Phil has, you know, we were looking for someone who's has a little bit more of a downstate accent, Jane Marie, and I think we found him.
I think he beats you and me.
Is it that easily apparent? Everyone tells me.
Well, we were going to start talking about coffee and malls and just kind of
throw out all the keywords, coffee, sauce, all those fun ones.
Well, so Phil, welcome to radio. So for everyone out there, and John, so Phil's an experienced estate planning, an elder law attorney from downstate, moved upstate. I'll let Phil, you tell the whole story, but this isn't your first rodeo in a radio station.
No, it's not. And I may be a little bit rusty, so, give me a little leeway here. But first of all, very excited to be here this morning. Even more excited to have joined the Herzog Law Firm team, which is very recent, last week, first week in, even though this has been in talks for a while. But yeah, about August of 2021, my wife and I, my two young children, 5 and 3, Colin and Adrian, went on the way. July soon, but we made a decision to move up to the Capital Region area from Long Island. I was a partner at a firm down there, and we moved up to, we're in Boston Lake, but
very
in
nice.
You know, the Capital
Wonderful.
Region, right? My wife's actually teaching now at Saratoga Springs High School, so quickly got involved in the local communities, and
that's great.
It's been great. But so yeah, we moved up. I opened up another branch of the firm up in this area, and I was growing. I think you were
growing too fast.
Quite well.
We had to stop it immediately.
Yeah. So I forget originally how it came to be, but I think a few of the events you guys had seen me at, or we saw each other, and we got the talks, and those talks lasted
a
while.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Oh, he did the talk.
I heard it. Hold on.
Talks.
Talks.
We've already had the conversation with my kids. My kids don't have the accent, so. For example,
right?
I would say Mario. They say Mario.
Mario.
That A is accentuated
I thought it was
up
Mario,
here.
Though. Mm-hmm.
Technically,
Jammer, you don't have much of an accent, do you?
No, I don't have much of an accent.
No,
I mean I can say Long Island, but that's about it.
Yeah. But you don't normally say that.
Well, no, I don't normally say that.
She's more of a Queens girl, anyway, right?
I'm from Queens.
There you go.
That should be even worse.
I know. Queens, that's right.
Well, but yeah, so happy, really excited. I think it's going to be great for me. Great. Hopefully for you guys as well, all around.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you have two children.
I do.
It gets a little more complicated than that, though.
Yes.
You got one on the way.
Yes. So July 17th.
Right? Very,
so
very
how far
excited.
Away is that? Listen, a little it's over
coming.
A month. So.
Well, let me ask you. So you have two little kids. I have little kids, but I'll tell you, when I first started doing the show and they would listen, and it was a very exciting thing. They call me Baba. Baba's on the radio. I assume that wife and kids might be listening.
So they went. My son has T-ball this morning, but they're leaving a little early to sit in the car.
How nice.
And listen. So a little shout out. Hi, Colin. Hi, Adrian. How are you this morning?
Aww.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. Very, very awesome.
Yeah.
When I started doing radio, my kids were teenagers. There was no way they wanted to listen to me. So.
Yeah, I have some time until I get to that phase where they don't want to see me anymore. So
yeah,
I'm enjoying it while they still think I'm great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
You enjoy it. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, so for the audience out there, again, Phil has joined the firm, and he is Jane Marie and I. We are one and the same, and we all service all of the offices, Kingston, Albany, Clifton Park, Saratoga Springs. And the addition of Phil is going to make it easier for us to go wherever you are if things are going really, really bad, as well as more availability to see you guys in the office. So we're really, really excited. Also, a new voice on the radio will be fantastic. It means, Jay Marie, that you can go to Connecticut for a couple's weekend without calling in, and I can go to Plymouth for a wedding without calling in.
Pressure's on you, Phil.
I'm excited. Right. I've listened to a bunch of their programs. I think I know the flow. And, you know, John, it's great to put a face to the voice.
What a great voice.
I have to say, John, quintessential radio voice. You give instant credibility to the show.
It just came out that way. I don't know.
I don't know. But
you started talking like that as a baby?
No. I don't think so. I don't know. It's, you know, whiskey and cigarettes all these years.
Well, so Phil, since you seem to get the hang of it already, Jamie and I are going to go to breakfast, and we'll be just listening.
All right, see you guys. Take care. Yeah, I got it.
Well, so let's actually get to some estate planning here, because I have a topic that I mentioned to you, Phil. Jamie, you and I talked about this several weeks ago, and it has happened again. We do long-term care planning in the form of this Medicaid trust and so on, and many of our clients actually have long-term care insurance, which is how they decide to plan for their lives. And that's great. There's no wrong answers as long as you have a plan. And a couple weeks ago, we had a client that got a letter in the mail that was a very scary letter that said that their long-term care insurance company was planning on asking for an approval for up to 270% increases in their premium. Big deal.
Astronomical.
So in this case,
insane.
The nice client of ours was paying about $6,000 a year, which is a lot of money for long-term. And she had a great plan. It was something called a New York State Partnership Plan. Unbelievable plan. And she said to me, I can't afford $20,000 premiums. And I said, well, I don't think you're ever going to have them, Jay Marie. I said, I think this is just a scary letter out there trying to get you to do something, because lo and behold, in the letter, they gave two options, both of which were, hey, listen, but act now. You don't have to pay us any premiums, but you're going to have less of a benefit.
Why do they do that? I mean, I know but come on.
Well, Jamie, why do they do that?
Well, but to be fair, though, the premiums have been going up every year for these policies.
Right.
Yeah.
They haven't gone up that high, but there's been a slow increase over the years.
Yes, there has. Yeah.
So it's not unreasonable to expect a $20,000 premium in a couple of years.
Well, for sure. And you know, Phil, the premiums going up are because everyone's living longer. So, you know, whatever deal they made with you 10 years ago when you got your policy is not a good deal anymore.
Well, for them, right. Insurance companies, they're a business. They have to be profitable, and that's their game. So they're going to raise premiums as they have to. On the client side, it may come as a shock. Unfortunately, you know, they may have purchased this many, many years ago, and at the time they thought, okay, hold on, I'm good. If I have any long-term care, I'm protected. Not thinking that, hey, as I get older, those premiums are going to go up. And also, maybe not fully looking at what their policy does cover and not accounting for how expensive long-term care has become. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm from Long Island, right? So everything on Long Island
is
more expensive.
Wait a minute. You're from Long Island?
I'm going to repeat it five more times today. So everything downstate is a little bit more expensive. Not that it's not expensive up here, but I'm starting to get the differences in the costs. But around here, from what I've seen, you know, long-term care and nursing home, highest level of long-term care, you're looking at, I would say, an average of $15,000 or so a month, right? Am I pretty much on point with that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so if you have a policy that's in place, despite the premium you're paying, even if you get a good premium, it may only cover $300 a day, right?
Well, let's come back to that in a second, Phil. We'll put a pin in that, because that's huge for what's going on. So this client from a couple weeks ago, she said, what am I going to do? And we talked, and we said, all right, well, you know what, maybe we'll do this. Well, you'll elect their option they're giving you to stop paying premiums, lower your policy to about 1 year worth of coverage, about $180,000 of lifetime benefit. And you're going to couple that with changing your estate plan from being a revocable trust, which we didn't care about long-term care because you had insurance, to now being the kind of trust where we care about 5-year look backs and we're getting that clock ticking. You're in good health. Let's cross our fingers. And she couldn't sleep at night, right? I said, I don't think they're going to increase it to this level. But she said, Dave, I got to do something. So that's what she elected. And it was based on a lot of factors, including her health, her assets, the fact that there would still be some sort of long-term care benefit she had. And we also know that if and when she starts to have that need, she can get it at home with no look back period, because community Medicaid has no look back period. We talk about it every week. Fast forward to a couple days ago, another client, same company. I guess at some point I could just say the company, but I don't know. I'm just going to not say it for now.
Yeah.
But she had a similar letter, Jamarie, that gave her four options. The options were quite interesting. Some of them were lowering her lifetime benefit to about $40,000 total, which is,
wow,
you know, a nice Jamarie vacation in a nursing home. About 2 months or so, two and a half months.
That's it. Not much at all.
A couple other options. And we went through the same kind of conversation. And I said to myself, geez, if two very different clients with very different policies, and by the way, this one, this more recent one, her coverage, her lifetime coverage was unlimited, which means that, John, if she was in a nursing home for 10 years, they're on the hook for 10 years.
That's rare.
Yeah.
So they were really itching to get her off of that.
Yeah.
And so one of the options was lowering her unlimited to 700 grand, which is still a ton of coverage, but you know, raising her premium quite a bit.
Right.
On and on and on. The moral of the story and the reason why I wanted to bring it up again, even though we talked about it maybe a month ago or so, is just because you have long-term care insurance, guys, doesn't mean that we're done with planning. Long-term care insurance is not an estate plan. It is a way to pay for long-term care needs. You still need to plan to avoid probate, leave money to the right people, all that stuff. And something we've been doing for a while, Jamarie, is when people come in with long-term care insurance, sometimes we say, well, you still may want to do a trust. And if we're talking trust, maybe we do the Medicaid trust, because let's hedge our bets, because the letter is coming. Sorry, it is.
Yeah, let's start that five-year period going just to protect you. And I've seen some clients do that in, they keep the policy for 5 years until they're through the penalty period, and then they cancel the policy.
Yeah.
Yeah, or at least have the option to.
Right.
And they have, if nothing else, they have a really good estate plan, which is going to cover their you know, whatever, the who, where, and what, and why as to where their money's going to go, as well as make sure we're going to avoid probate. And then, you know, it's a changing landscape. And on one side, I kind of understand a long-term care insurance company saying, you know, listen, we have an existential crisis here. We may not exist because y'all are living too long. And it's either increased premiums or we're out of business. Which would you prefer?
Sure.
So it's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, but so what you're saying really is it's a piece of the puzzle, this long-term care policy. It's not a coverall. So it does not, you know, take away the need to still do that planning. Asset protection planning can still be very important. Long-term care policies and good planning working hand in hand, on the other hand, can be great.
Absolutely. And I don't think there's any wrong answer, Jamarie. As long as people come in, whether us or other, you know, experienced law firms that do this, and kind of understand the risks and rewards, and they're everyone's a grown up, they make their decision, and off they go. I'm more of the hedging bets kind of guy, you know. Like, I don't know if you guys go to casinos or anything like that. I don't really go, but if I do, you know, if I made back what I started with, I put that in my pocket.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not a gambler
I just
play
either. With profits, you know what I'm saying?
I don't gamble.
I don't really have that risk tolerance that other people may have.
Right. And but also it goes to our advice that you should come in and review your estate plan every couple of years. You know, let's take a look at your policy, see what it covers and see what the costs are. And that's how you would see how the costs have probably, you know, outraced what the policy covers.
Yeah. You know, the phrase is corny, but knowledge is power. Right. And it's so true. Like, how many of these people that get these letters just act on it themselves without seeking counsel and maybe make a very unwise decision? You know, if you get one of those letters about a long-term care policy, seek help, get an opinion from an experienced estate planning attorney or someone first before you make a rash decision. That's very important.
Jamarie, I think he's a pro.
I think so.
He's a ringer. Yeah, we'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kapikin.
And my name is Jane Marie Schaefer.
And my name is Phil Vacchio. Hey, guys, I have a little issue with that advertisement during the break here. I heard it said call Dave Kubicki and Jane Marie Schaefer, Harry Miller. How do I get
Phil Vacchio
on there? As long as it's my first time here, but who do I got to speak to?
Well, Dave's going to have to submit something to the radio station. I don't know how that works.
We'll take care of that. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up because we did celebrate Mr. Harry Miller this past week. Harry has retired.
Mm-hmm.
He still had his fastball when it comes to estate planning and elder law.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll miss him dearly, but we had a nice party for him as he rides off into the proverbial sunset.
Yeah, that's great. We wish him all the best.
I mean, this show exists because of, you know, the attorneys that came before us, Sholem and Harry in particular, who really have been week after week after week showing up and so on. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Congrats to Harry.
Him, but
And Phil, that was a nice we'll get your name on there, Phil.
All right. Promise?
Yeah. Let's see how the rest of the show goes.
Oh, no.
Well, so we had a caller last week, and she had a... She called
Let's give out our number, Dave. So we could have another caller, right?
There you go. 518-476-5900 is the number in the station. If you say, you know what, I like that... the sound of that Phil guy, I want to see him in the office. You can call any of our offices. Main number is 518-465-7581. Carol was a caller. I don't know where you are, Carol. Maybe she overslept. Carol called last week, and Jamie, I don't know if you remember, she had asked about the difference between revocable and irrevocable trust, and then it kind of turned into the difference between a will and a trust.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we could attack this three-way, the difference between revocable and irrevocable. Actually, Jamie had a speaking engagement yesterday that Phil came to, and my parents actually came to it as well.
Oh, nice.
I've never really spoken in front of my parents.
Were you nervous?
A little bit, because I'm normally talking about them, for half the
That'd
thing.
Be my concern. Are they going to have issues with what I say about my parents?
But I think it worked out. My mom left me a nice review. It was actually for a labor union that they're not a part of because they're retired, and that she still filled out the evaluation form. She said I was very informative, so I got that.
I filled out an evaluation, too, by the way.
Oh, did you?
I did. So
oh, thank you.
Look out for it, yeah.
It wasn't as nice.
No. You did a great job.
A big part of that, though, and Jamie, it's basically wills versus trust that I was doing. A big part of that webinar, and in this case, a live seminar, is the difference between revocable and irrevocable. Because whenever people hear that word, guys, they clench up and they say, well, my accountant told me, my friend told me, my financial advisor told me not to do irrevocable because I'm going to lose control. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose control. What say you about that, Jamie?
Well, I say the way we do our irrevocable trusts, you still have a lot of control. You can build it a lot of control, mainly by controlling your trustee. That's one power. You can fire and replace your trustee. And the trustee can do, well, basically can do anything that you need to do for the trust.
Yeah.
You know? So the trust has written into it certain powers. It has written into it that you keep the life use of your house. That's really important to most people, is that their concern is, okay, what if I give it to the trust and my kids sell it out from under me, right? So there's some safeguards in there. There's the life use of the house. There's the ability to change the trustee. If that trustee ever wanted to, you know, hinted at doing that, you can fire them.
Well, you're the boss, Jamie, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
You know, you control everything. When I, you know, hear trustee, I hear really puppet. You know, we have puppets that do your bidding for you. A lot of times, Phil, financial advisors or an accountant in particular will call and say, hey, I'm about to do taxes for our mutual client. They just told me they did this irrevocable trust. You know, what am I supposed to do here? And we just simply say, it's a grantor trust. And they say, oh, okay, great.
Yep.
And that means a lot in our lingo. What does that, you know?
Yeah, again, many of those phone calls each year around tax time. And, you know, rightfully so. I think every professional has their own lane, right? And you don't want to drift too far off into someone else's lane. And, you know, there's liability right now. But you were saying earlier, Dave, there is a lot of misinformation given out there that clients hear, whether it's they're doing their own research online or they're talking to their friend or my financial advisor said this or my CPA said that. And they're not always getting the correct information. And you have to go to a professional in that area to really find out what your options are, your true options. And I think that's very important. I refer to many CPAs. I refer to many financial advisors. And they refer to things that I am not comfortable giving advice on myself that I don't think I should be giving advice on myself because they're the professionals in those areas. So I think it's very important for everyone to realize you need to build a team of people you trust around you in each of those different areas to get the correct information.
Yeah. And when it comes to this area, not to sound, you know, like we know it all, but we kind of know it all. This is our area. Literally, elder law and estate planning is our specialty.
So we do day in, day out. Day in, so hopefully we have a good idea at this point. Yeah.
So when it comes to a Medicaid asset protection trust, it is, I'm doing air quotes, no one can see it, irrevocable, right? What does that mean? Well, guess what? You still get to use and enjoy your money. You get to be the income beneficiary of your money. If we have real estate in your trust, you're paying all the bills. You get all the rents if it's a rental property. You get to have exclusive use and occupancy of your primary residence. If you get the STAR exemption, the enhanced STAR exemption, guess what? You keep getting it. It doesn't change. Okay. When, you know, you have investments in your trust and it makes lots of money, you pay taxes on it because you always paid taxes on it at your level, at the individual level. The trust doesn't pay taxes. These are all really important things, but the most important thing is something that Jay Marie touched on, which is for your life, you can always, whenever you feel like it, with just a call to us and a stroke of your pen, change your beneficiaries. That's who gets what, right? Change your plan, as well as change your trustees. And the analogies we use, I'm not going to say. I'm not saying the appliance one.
I'm going to walk out of here, Dave.
I've already heard it a few times.
I've only been here a week, so.
But
well,
I do like.
We'll do a different version of it, which is if you're some sort of Hollywood big shot, if you're John Gabriel and you have a chauffeur taking you home every day.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That chauffeur John is driving wherever you tell them to drive. If you don't like the way they're driving, you say, I need a new chauffeur. I'm John. Do you know who I am?
John Gabriel. No.
Sorry. I got a little carried away there, John. Okay. But the idea is you are in the back of the car. You're the boss, but your hands are not on the wheel.
Okay, I got it.
You're the boss. It's all good. And that is a really big thing, Jamie, for people to understand, because irrevocable means a lot of other things in regular life, but legally it's a very specific definition.
That's true. And then I think kind of we may have skipped over this point, but the reason you do irrevocable over revocable is because of the asset protection.
Oh, my goodness. You're right.
Only irrevocable has asset protection. Revocable trusts, there's no asset protection. That's still treated as your assets.
Yeah, I have many clients that do not realize that, right? They hear the term trust, or I have a trust, or my parents have a trust, and everything's protected. Well, let's dig into that a little bit.
Yes.
What kind of trust do they have? Is it revocable? Is it irrevocable? not quite sure. Let me see the trust. Oh, this is revocable. Right, so I'm good. Not necessarily.
Well, Phil, I've seen where people say they have a trust, and they say, great, and then they show me their will.
Yeah,
they show
that me too.
There's language in it that has trust language in a will, but that's not the same kind of thing.
But listen, it's funny to us, right, because we see it every day, but it's not easy for the common person to understand all these terms, all these phrases, and they're thrown around in so many different ways, and even in Hollywood and what you read, you know, you see trusts and wills and this and that and estates and, you know, when are we going to do the formal, you ever get this one? When are we going to all sit down and do the formal will reading?
Oh, I get that.
That's Hollywood.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
I've never done one.
I've never either.
Yeah.
I would like to. That'd be fun. But
you see it on TV all the time. You don't
it's
do
never
that
happened.
Anymore,
no.
It looks like fun sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, what's
up? One family member fighting against the other.
The kids, the ex-wife, you know.
It's only fun if you're like, someone's being cut out, right? And they jump up and say no, and like
right. My daughter gets $1 million. My son gets the parrot.
In real life, it's not like that.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. No.
Well, this is pretty good, guys. I mean, we have 4 or 5 minutes left here, but this is like we've been together forever. I like it.
Yeah. Good flow so far.
That's right. Yeah. And I like it because I can't see David, so it's good.
You know, the one part that you mentioned there, Phil, where it's hard to understand, that's where we, all jokes aside, you know, basic analogies like the toasters and the ovens or the chauffeurs or the puppets or, you know, these different things that we come up with. It's all to try to educate people on the idea that, you know, your entire life you heard irrevocable meaning one thing. Phil, if I gave you my phone right now irrevocably, you don't expect me tomorrow to not just ask for it back, but get it back, whether you like it or not. But when it comes to these trusts, that's how it works. And we do have a caller. Her name is Deborah. She's in Millbrook. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Hi. I'm good, Dave. Thank you for asking. I would just like to express my concern. I'm a current client of Herzog Law mm-hmm. Firm, and Harry was our attorney.
Yes.
And this is the second time I've heard on the radio that Harry was leaving.
Yes.
We never got anything in the mail advising that he was retiring. I think that would have been a nice gesture on the part of the firm.
Yes, Deborah. Well, so a letter will be coming, and we had talked to Harry about how he wanted to handle things, and you know, he wanted to make sure that things were kind of quiet. He didn't want a big kerfuffle towards the end. But you're absolutely right. So everyone that has seen Harry knows how good he was at what he does. He's not gone forever, and he will be around if needed. But we will be sending a letter to everyone letting them know what's happening with their file and that, you know, he says hello to everyone and all that stuff. But you're absolutely right, Deborah. But it was for many reasons that we had to keep it a little quiet.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
We're not very happy, but thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Totally get it because, you know, legend. 49 years. 49 years at the law firm, Jamery. Pretty big deal.
He was actually wearing a sash that said the legend yeah. at his dinner.
No kidding. Yeah.
Yes. That was very nice.
That call, too, is a good a good example of the relationships we build with our clients, too.
Yeah.
It's a personal experience with me and my clients. You're going through these things in their life that are so important that you become almost a part of the family in a sense where they trust you. You want to be involved. You're emotionally involved with them and you want to help as best you can. So I could certainly understand that caller's, you know, frustration, if you will.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the one thing that's great is Herzog is going to continue to exist and continue to represent all of those clients and provide the same service they've always gotten and hopefully even better in the future. You know, we're always looking to be better than we were in the past. So.
No, we're really close with our clients. I had a client in, and we were just chatting about how hard it is to find a dermatologist. This is just random. So I had a voicemail yesterday morning. He found a doctor and left me her name and phone number. Just like just like a friend or family member. He's like, you need to call her, and I'm going to follow up and see if you wanted to see her.
Oh, that's so nice.
It's just so nice. Yeah. We really have close ties with our clients, and that's part of what makes the job so enjoyable.
I love that aspect of this job. I really do.
To Deborah's point, though, for all those listeners out there who have seen Harry, who haven't seen Jamery or myself, and certainly haven't seen Phil yet, the firm will be sending out a letter with instructions and all that stuff and options. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you, guys.
Great job.
Looking forward to the bright future together.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.